Welcome to Dear Warriors. This is Amy and Allie, and we have a great show today. Allie is going to be sharing some recipes for the listeners out there, and I am going to try it, so I'll be writing down some stuff. And if you want a part of this recipe, please write us at mystories@dearwarriors.com, and we will send it to you. So here we go. Allie, welcome.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am so excited. What do you have for us today?
Do you want to get...
Well, I want to know...
I've been doing a lot of... You know what? It's kind of difficult to choose. I have so many recipes over the years that I didn't know which gem to share with you all today, but I was feeling... like pizza this morning, so I thought I would share my healthy spinoff of regular pizza with you guys today.
Oh, that's fun. So I have a question for you. Why was food so therapeutic for you? Like, what, you know, in the beginning, I remember you telling us on your testimony, well, when we were just chatting, that, you know, food was a big deal for you, that you started baking and, you know, because, you know, you were at home and you weren't feeling well and you found out that, you know, you had a lot of issues going on in your tummy. So why was it so why is food so therapeutic for you?
So that's a great question. And I have a great answer for that. And honestly, I've had a very turbulent relationship with food since I was in elementary school. I have sort of been off and on with food. For a long time, I thought I would be better off if I could live without food. When I was young, I used to say to my pediatrician, if I could be an eritarian, I think I would be much better off. If I could live on air, I probably wouldn't have any of the symptoms that I am struggling with. I used to say that when I was in elementary school, and here I am 20 plus years later, and I'm still saying the same thing. So I have a very, like I said, I have a very on and off relationship with food. So it took me a long time to tweak what I eat so that I could eat. And that my relationship with food wasn't completely broken like it was when I was growing up. I just didn't have the knowledge. And I was too young to conduct the trial and error periods that I conducted as I got older. When I had to drop out of college because I was too sick to attend college, I started nitpicking exactly what I ate. And I kept a food diary. And I started this very extreme anti-inflammatory way of eating called this specific carbohydrate diet. And I like to compare it to a baby diet because it's sort of introducing one food at a time. And you do it as fast or as slow as you'd like. I did it relatively slowly. After I talked to other people, I discovered that I did it super slowly, but that was because I was so reactive to everything that I ate that I didn't care how slowly I went. I ate one food for a while, and then I introduced a second food for a while, then I only ate two foods.
That's smart.
Homemade chicken soup and homemade straight up beef hamburgers with salt. Then I did zucchini pasta. I peeled it and deseeded it because there are components to those parts of the fruit and certain veggies that are not great for the gut. If you have a sensitive gut, you should not eat the skin or the seeds. And at that point in my recovery process, I knew I shouldn't eat the skin or the seeds. So everything I ate was super plain, like baby food. And I did that for a year. And then things got a little rocky after that because I wasn't fully healed and I was super frustrated. So I've had this high and low relationship with food for years. But I feel like I'm finally at that point where I can put meals together that I know are safe for me. It's taken me a long time to figure this out. I've tried lots of different healing ways of eating. I've tried everything under the sun. I've tried the specific carbohydrate diet. I dipped a little bit into the GAPS diet, which I believe is the gut and psychology syndrome, something. It's a spin-off of the SCD diet, but it really focuses on the connection between the gut and the brain, which most people don't recognize this, but your gut is directly linked to your brain and your mental health. So I tried those two. Those are both pretty extreme. I've tried low FODMAP. And the FODMAP diet is cutting down on certain foods that have those sugar structures. FODMAP is fructose, oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides. And now I'm on video and I don't know what the other two letters are. So I don't remember what the rest of the letters are, but it's all about the structure of the food. This is embarrassing. I always refer to it as FODMAP, and I usually pull the app up on my phone when I'm at the store. And if I'm not sure if it's low FODMAP, I'll look it up, because with FODMAP, it has everything to do with the serving size. So something can be low FODMAP if it's a small amount, but if you go hog wild and eat a ton of it, it becomes high FODMAP and becomes more damaging to your system. Your system is a rain bucket, right? And so if you fill it with too much water and it starts overflowing, you become very symptomatic.
Right.
So with low FODMAP foods, you might be able to tolerate a high FODMAP food, but you might only be able to tolerate it in a small amount. So you have to go through the process of figuring out which foods you can eat. It's all an experimental thing. It's all a trial and error. It's very frustrating. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of strength and willpower. But if you can do it, and if you have a support system, family at home, friends, a partner, it's easier to stick to it. But if you can get through that and educate yourself on the language that your body is trying to speak to you, you can figure out things that you can eat. And again, I say this now, but it also is day to day. If you're not doing well one day, your safe foods might not be safe that day. You might have to go even further back to super duper baby food safe on that one particular day. If your pain is up, or your nausea is up, or you're feeling lightheaded, or whatever, your inflammation is up, you may have to tone it down way, way down and eat super duper plain. So you really have to hone in on that relationship that you have with your body and your mind, your gut and your brain. You have to know when you eat certain foods, you have to be able to trace how you're feeling and say, oh, yeah, that didn't work out. I probably shouldn't have eaten that. I know I'm feeling like this because of what I ate the other night. And once you get good, you can trace it back. And if you keep a food diary, it gets even easier. So I've done the GAPS. I've done SCD. I've done FODMAPs. I've done low histamine. I've done paleo. I've done carnivore. I've done low carb. I've done no nightshades. So no tomatoes, no potatoes, no peppers. I didn't eat nightshades for, let's see, 2005, 10, oh my goodness, probably 15 years maybe. I just reintroduced tomatoes maybe a month ago, and I'm doing okay. But I didn't have nightshades for about 15 years. I saw a nutritionist when I was in ninth grade, and my pain was severe. And she had suggested, I think you should go off nightshades and gluten and dairy. So it was way back then that my diet really became quite challenging. All in all, to say that it's a very rewarding moment when you can sit down in the kitchen and put a meal